Welcome back to Moonbeaming. I am so happy to be with you today. It's a whole new Gregorian calendar arbitrary year, which means we've got a whole new tarot card of the year to discuss. One that is going to be our helper, our friend, our guide, and also bring up just some collective issues as they tend to do. I mean, 2022, our card of the year was lovers. And 2022, we saw some of the shadows of lovers, did we not? How much were relationships and imbalanced relational dynamics highlighted? There was choice. We had some contrast, we had some superficiality, and of course, love, 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 and all its beauty, its invitations and discontents. Well, we get to now continue to integrate all of those themes as we also look towards another archetype. And that archetype, of course, is the Chariot. Major Arcana 7. We get the card of the year by adding up all the numbers of the year. So 2023 all adds up to 7. And the Chariot is the key holder of movement, change, boldness, paradox, growth, and new pathways. On January 7th, just in a few days, I am holding a workshop that is going to help you to navigate this Chariot year. It's right after the full moon. I'm going to be discussing the key themes of the Chariot, the archetypal energy of the Chariot, and really strategies and tools for collaborating with this year. You can think of this upcoming workshop as a navigational tool, a guide, complete with worksheets, a Chariot spell, and more to help you integrate the energy of the Chariot into your intentions. We want to be working with, not against. That's how I think of it. And even if you don't work with the collective energy as I do, I always think that each year relating to each archetype is such a cool and beautiful way to live the archetype more deeply. It's such a cool thing to use the different archetypes as these mirrors, as these tools for grounding, and also for all of the wisdom they can give us. There's information, wisdom, teaching, lessons, strategies within all of these archetypes that we can utilize. And if you're ready to make change, if you're ready to take bolder action, if you're ready to become more and more of yourself, that's what the Chariot can help you with. And if you have loved this podcast, if you really do want to take action, create change, not just be tossed about by the happenings of the year, and you want my secret sauce, my juicy nuggets of wisdom, and universal and archetypal life hacks, sign up for this workshop. It will have information you can use all year. We're focusing on navigating change, initiating change, change magic. We're going to talk about divination, paradoxes and paradigms, and how to create new maps and new ways forward. New pathways, neuropathways included here. You'll leave with a bunch of insight into how you're going to get to where you'd like to go spiritually and practically, while also, dare I say, enjoying the process of getting there, which of course is what the Chariot is all about. I share what works for me, and the feedback I've received is that it works for others as well. And of course, a replay is available to anyone who signs up. You can sign up at themoonstudio.co, or of course, the link is in the show notes. Okay, now let's get on to our show. All of us have tarot cards that we just get, that we just like. And the Chariot is a tarot card that I have a very deep affinity with because it's my life path card. If you add up all the numbers of your birthday, you reduce it down to one number. That's your life path card in numerology. It can be looked at as a bit of a lighthouse or describer of the themes of your life and also a reflection of the energies, talents, skills you possess naturally. And I feel very Chariot. I have a ton of themes in my life that relate to the Chariot. It's a card I feel very intimately. I feel like I know the Chariot really well because I have lived these themes really well. They are vibrant and alive in just about my everyday. And so I have a ton of information about it that I want to share with you as a result. In this episode, I'm going to begin by zooming out and giving you context that I think will be useful in relation to this card. And then I'm going to cover the keywords and symbology of the Chariot that we can use to meditate on, make different connections, and reflect on. Then I'm going to share some of my personal interpretations of the card that I've found throughout my 16 years plus of study and 13 years of reading for others. So let's get into it. I wanted to begin by discussing the placement of the Chariot. The Chariot is the last card on the first line of the major arcana. There are 21 official numbered major arcana cards in the tarot, with the Fool number 0 being an honorary card, the Void, perhaps the 22nd, or just the 0. So when you take 21 and you divide them by 7, you get the three lines of the major arcana, which contextualizes them within the Fool's journey or process. And this was taught to me by Rachel Pollack in her book, 78 Degrees of Wisdom. I think that she learned this from someone else. I can't recall completely, forgive me, but that's my source. So anytime you hear people discussing the three lines of the major arcana, that's probably where they get that from, just so you know. And it's a really great device for organizing the larger themes of the different cards and also looking at the why of the tarot. We have to zoom out even more and question what we're using the tarot for, what it symbolizes for us, what kind of tool is that? And in order to do that, of course, we have to clarify our own beliefs. How you make meaning is your own fun individual process. I'll just share some of mine right here, right now. I believe that the tarot is a kind of roadmap for the spirit. They are symbols of archetypal energy and processes, learnings, lessons that every human undergoes and experiences in different ways throughout their life. And of course, this is again where all our personal, our very personal beliefs come in. I don't know what yours are. Your beliefs around tarot can be totally different. Maybe for you, it's just a fun game, you know, or it's a journaling prompt, right? And that's totally valid too. Part of what I believe is that all of us came here to be ourselves. And part of that is remembering who we are outside of society's labels, outside of what our family said we were, outside of race, class, gender, whatever external labels that have been put on us or whatever labels we willingly and joyfully and proudly choose. I believe all of us have our own themes of wounding and repair. Some of those, of course, could be ancestral. I believe that part of the process of all of our lives is integrating those wounds and also creating a better world for those around us. I believe that all of us have specific gifts unique to us that we evolve and grow as we express them and experience them. And then as we pass through different stages of being, different stages of experience and consciousness, and we integrate and process other wounds and explore and bring out different aspects of our gifts, we grow and can help other people as well. I believe we're all connected in this web. I believe that what we do has meaning, and that part of our responsibility as creators is to thank the creator by enjoying our life, as well as leaving the world a better place than we found it in our own way. In tarot, sometimes, but not always, but sometimes, tarot can be a reflection about where we are in all of this, essentially a guide to the great work, capital G, capital W, which is this process of transformation, of gathering ourselves, of stepping into our full selves in all our power, however that looks. I do think that the tarot can be utilized as a map to enlightenment, or certainly a more enlightened state of being, because it calls us out, it reflects us, even when maybe we can't always see what's up with us always, yeah? I think it is a reflection of life and possesses secrets and wisdom through the archetypes of what energy is available to us, who we are, what lessons are available for us now, and what energy we can explore. And when we become skillful at collaborating with that energy and channeling that energy, we become more conscious and we live the tarot. That's what we do when we're working with the card of the year or exploring our life path number or our card of the year. That's what we do when we go through the deck and pull a card out to focus on and meditate on and bring into our life and our intention in a really clear way. I call that tarot talismans. When we work with the tarot as a talisman consciously, we're calling that energy into our life intentionally and channeling it. And this is all very Chariot. This is, of course, what the Chariot is specifically about, because the Chariot is a vehicle. Before I move on, we're going to lots of places already, but before, pun intended, get it? Ha ha, Chariot, vehicle, movement. I'm digressing. Let's get back to the idea of those three lines. There are a bunch of different ways to look at those three lines. I'm talking about the Magician to the Chariot, the Strength card, if you're using a Smith Rider weight. If it's the Toth, you're looking at Justice, but for our sake, let's just say Strength. Our Strength to Temperance, and then we have the Devil through the World. And you can take your major arcana cards out and put them in order to look at them. If you've never done that before, I highly recommend you do so, because a lot of inspiration and connections come that way. It's always a good exercise to do every now and again. The first way I'll discuss this is the three different lines are different aspects of our consciousness. That means the first line is our conscious self. The second line is our subconscious, interior, or more submerged self. And the last line is what some people refer to as the superconscious or we could say our most enlightened, least hooked, like least attached, most intuitive, wisest self, also known as our future self. Some people call it higher self, whatever language works for you. I think you're picking up what I'm throwing down. We can also look at the three lines as being connected roughly to different stages of our development. So we have the first line being babyhood through kind of early adolescence, or maybe even like early 20s or leaving the nest age, whatever that looks like, metaphorically or literally. The second line might be the midpoint of our life. And the last line could be the last third of our life. Or as metaphor, we can look at those three lines as the types of themes we learn during those various stages of our lives, or the kinds of themes in terms of increasing wisdom as we gain more and more resource, more and more self-knowledge, and more knowledge about the world around us. The first theory or context I learned about the three lines is this idea of life, growth, death, and then a rebirth or a reawakening. That's what a lot of tarot scholars like Rachel Pollack talk about, where the first line can be about our growth in the external world, how we're being shaped by our world. For example, our family, schools, society, how our personality is developed by external circumstances or through societally based rules or labels. Then the second line is our internal journey, our internal quest, which of course ends with an ego death, the dissolving of that constructed personality with the death card. Spoiler alert, no, we all knew that was coming. And then ultimately, the dissolution of any illusions, aka the sequence of the tower to the star, then the sun, and we end up more individuated, more whole, able to see the bigger picture, our bigger connection to the entire world or our entire world and ecosystem, and our place in it, our spiritual place, with judgment, aka awakening. If I ever do a tarot deck, I'll call judgment awakening, or maybe even resurrection, but it's not quite that. But anyway, then it ends with the world card, where we have one leg of our journey, one major aspect of this larger process is over. We've come home, so to speak. And then, of course, we also begin another process all over again around something else. Rude, I know, but that's just how it goes, friends. Another mountain to climb. We reach one summit, we see another summit in the distance. There's always another descent, another unmasking, another unveiling, another discovery. Getting tired just thinking about all of it. One time I sat on this healer's couch and I was like, I was crying about something. I mean, I know exactly what I was crying about, but I was like, I am so tired of healing. Can't we like, please just put a pause on this, you know? But seriously, just for a minute, I call a moratorium on unnecessary, painful types of healing. Like, I'm really trying to call my lessons in through joy and fun and decisive action this year. How about you? How about you? And the Chariot is about that. It's about initiating direction and intention. In fact, I think the Chariot is intention in action, which is power. The Chariot is the last card in that first line, which means that this card is one of integration and of going somewhere else. It is a card of preparation and departure. We see this with the last cards in each of the three lines. You see it also with Temperance, and you see it with the World card. What are some of the things that all these cards have in common? All of them are doing somewhat unusual or supernatural or metaphoric things. We've got walking on water, floating in the sky, riding on sphinxes, or even horses. In some decks, the Chariot, and like more modern decks, the Chariot is a car, which when we think about it, driving in a car, that's like pretty wild. Honestly, it's pretty amazing, if you ask me. And all of these spaces depicted in many of these three cards, Chariot, Temperance, and the World, they're in a liminal in-between space that isn't necessarily somewhere specific. Like, you can't draw a signpost with the Chariot and say, okay, it's 700 yards from this here castle and it's on its way to the next destination, or, well, it's a womb bubble made of plants and ribbons floating in the sky surrounded by the four archangels, aka the fixed signs. You're not like, make a left at the angel walking on water and making more water on a cup go upwards, like, easy, right? There are these supernatural, imaginal destinations that resonate with imagination, integration, process. They're all also a bit of a paradox, visual riddles, if you will. They're both this conclusion and a wrap-up of one process and a pivot point in this larger line, this larger spiral, this larger circle of process, if that makes sense to you. It's this zooming in to zoom out. Focus in order to get larger. There's a vulnerability and also a shedding. All the cards on that third line share these qualities because all of them are preparing for a leap. They're preparing for a quantum leap, a consciousness leap, an energetic leap. They're getting ready, essentially. And the Chariot often correlates with the part of the process or a part or a time period in your life where you've done what society tells you to do. You've done what your parents wanted you to do. You've done what you think you want to do in terms of what you think will make you happy, solve a problem, right? Like, get that job, marry that person, get that degree, quit that addiction, write that book, and it doesn't work. And I mean, like, we could be here all day, couldn't we? And some people are. They're there for much of their lives, always chasing something external, always grasping, always trying to be someone different, always needing some form of external validation or acknowledgement. We've all been there. There's no judgment in anything that I'm saying. It's called being a human being. And also, it's exhausting. We know that it's exhausting, and we know that it's not a cure-all, and it doesn't really work for our spiritual growth or for our emotional growth or even just for our like emotional maturity or overall contentment and fulfillment. Always seeking external praise, or maybe even avoiding, maybe even trying to be invisible, to mask, because that's what your child self realized would keep them safe. Or always seeking out some trophy because that's what society told you would keep you safe, would make you lovable, would keep you from being found out as the wounded human, the imperfect human who needs help, who needs care, who needs support, who's complex, who's nuanced, that you are, that all of us are. So the Chariot is often this card that appears when we've tried those other things, we've tried the ways in which other people have told us that we're going to be okay, we've read all the self-help books, we've read all those three easy ways to dot, dot, dot on those blog posts that they tell you to do. It comes up when you've tried all the ways you had thought and they don't work because it's now time for you to create your own path, your own way that is unique and specific to you. And because of this, the Chariot is this important key in the process of our individuation, which says, only I can figure out what is going to make me content or happy. Only I can construct a life or a self that is going to make me and God or my best self or my future self or my ancestors or my inner child or my community proud. I'm going to get focused. I'm going to get disciplined. I'm going to align my body, spirit, mind, energy, and I'm going to align myself with the will of God. You can insert your whatever in place of God. You're going to align yourself with the flow of the universe. You're going to align yourself with your future timeline. You're going to align yourself with your capital S self, your greater big self. You're going to align yourself with your helpers, whatever that looks like for you, right? I know people have issues with the word God. Fortunately or unfortunately, my last name is Gottesdiener. It means servant of God. Not joking. I've had some time to get used to the idea of God. And believe me, I've been uncomfortable with it too. So totally cool. If you don't like that name and you want to insert another name, goddess, high priestess, dog, whatever, right? This is no judgment zone. Totally cool. Like, stay with me here. Ever heard the saying, I want what God wants for me? That's the Chariot. Does anyone remember? Oprah shared this prayer. It's a common prayer. Dear God, use me. Use this life. I trust that there is a vision for my life that is greater than my imagination can hold. God, use me. Make me a vessel for your life force, for your spirit. That is the Chariot. It is looking around and saying, you know, I don't know. This isn't it. I'm not sure what exactly it is, but I know how to feel into it. I know when I get there. So first, I'm going to surrender. I'm going to understand I don't have all the answers right now. I'm going to make myself a vessel for spirit, for creation, for love, for beautiful energy, for source, for grace to work through. I'm going to make myself a vessel so that I become a vehicle and I can progress forward on a path that is all my own. I create the path as I walk it. The path unfolds as I move in a different way through change. As I embrace change, I become it. Change shows me who I am. I trust in change. When you are in chariot energy and a chariot time, often you are misunderstood. This is a card that correlates to the persona, to projections. There's masks and all of that. The shadow obviously is a constructed, inauthentic mask or persona. I'm not going to go there. That's its whole other episode with this card, but it does correlate to all of that. And also correlates to you going your own way, having your own visions and ideas that are clear often only to you and you alone, and not everyone around you understands that, right? When we're changing, think about it. Have you ever undergone a very large change of identity or gender or class, or, you know, moving from someone who is single to someone who's married, or someone who is childless and then you have a child? People react to that, right? There's a spectrum of reaction, right? We've all been there, right? The Chariot is an outlier card. The Charioteer ends the procession. The processional begins with the jester or the fool, then goes to the juggler, aka the magician, then the queen, the king, the pope, the charioteer brings up the end and goes somewhere else. So you're carving your own path. And let's not forget what this card is. It's like a warrior card. There's often a conflict or a fight involved in some way. No mission usually involves being understood. And this archetype is often going to be misunderstood. This archetype is often misunderstood. You know, I'm often misunderstood. I get projected upon all the time. Even people describing me as woo or describing this podcast as woo, I'm like, have I ever said that I think of myself like that? Just because I talk about energy and nature and archetypes and depth psychology and cycles of identity and processes, you're going to just label me woo? Come on now. Do you understand how patriarchal or misogynist or presumptive that is? But we do this to one another all the time. The Chariot is a card of individuation, of becoming whole, of bringing disparate parts together so they are always going to feel like an outlier, or they will often feel like an outlier, like they don't completely belong to groups. I certainly have felt that time and time again in my life, even in spiritual scenes. I seldom feel welcomed or aligned, and I've come to terms with that. The paradox, because we know that this archetype is about paradox. The paradox is that the more we feel at home within ourselves and original and authentic, the less we may feel like we fit in with many different groups or communities. The Chariot, there's also this martial aspect to the chariot. And the chariot is about navigating conflict. Internal conflict is major in the chariot. I would argue the internal conflict is larger with this card than external, but that's just me. Internal conflict and external conflict. And I've seen that a lot in my life because the chariot is about how we navigate the external and don't let it control us. Even in the so-called spiritual community, I've seen way too much behavior that is heartbreaking, disturbing, disappointing. You know, my work has been stolen, ripped off. People take my classes and use them as the foundation of their class or their book without giving me credit. They totally erase me. They use me, slander me. They'll use my name and intellectual property to build their business. That has happened. It used to bother me. It used to bother me a lot, but I don't pay that much attention to it anymore. Because here's the thing, and here's another chariot lesson. When we have a different perspective, which we learned with lovers, and we utilize our clearest consciousness, again, what we learn with the lovers, we take those lessons and alchemize them and integrate them into chariot, we can then navigate challenges more artfully. One, I can use what I experience and see as information, nothing more, nothing less. Okay, that's who that person is. That's information. Which brings me to two, trying not to take it personally, right? We have to try not to take it personally. It isn't about me. If you make everything all about you, that's your ego running the show. That is a setup for suffering. What people do, what other people do, and what we do is about them. Like 90% of the time. Again, we're talking complexity, we're talking nuance, we're talking case by case, of course. I'm not talking about extreme situations. Okay, thank you. Thank you for your consideration. Sadly, in this here world, people are going to unconsciously take the values, models, and behaviors of colonization, which are their theft and erasure. And they're going to act in that manner. And to an extent, that is the water that all of us swim in, myself included. And often, it can be pretty difficult to avoid. So, it isn't about me. Which brings me to three. Your temporary external situation does not define your future, and you mustn't let other people's projections define you. You are much more than what you are told. You are much more than your mistakes, and you are much more than your victories, too. Gentle listener, if I took everything that someone told me I was, everything that my family or a teacher or a boss or a stranger on the internet if I took everything that other people told me I was, and I let that control my self-reflection and how I view myself, I would think that I was maybe the worst person ever to live and I shouldn't be here. If I took everything that everyone told me I was negatively and I let that control my behavior, I would do nothing. And if I took all of the amazing, beautiful things that people told me, like praise or compliments, or even like, I'm going to get real, even people who just tell me things they think I want to hear because they're trying to get something out of me, right? If I took all of those things as truth, I'd get super inflated and entitled and would not be humble and would never work on myself and would never try or self-reflect or try to learn or grow. I'd go stagnant, really. I'd be like, oh, I think I'm the best. I mean, no one's ever told me I'm the best, but you know, I'd be like, oh yeah, nothing more to learn here. Guess I'm self-actualized. No. So we want to take this middle road. This is Chariot. The other thing ideally that the Chariot teaches us that I try to practice is that I use the gnarly behavior I witness to remind me of what I don't want to be. I don't want to get hooked by someone else's cruel, manipulative behavior. I don't want to stoop to someone else's level just because ... just because they're there, just because they've activated me, just because they're trying to hook me or they've stolen from me or whatever. I don't want to base my foundation on a lack of integrity because it's not the shortcut you think it is. And that is a tower lesson, which is the Chariot's teacher card. Hello. Does it all make sense? The system? And that's what brings me to 5. If we're thinking about another Chariot wisdom, another Chariot learning, we are often defined by how we navigate and deal with extremes. Extreme loss, extreme gain, extreme joy, extreme pain. Yes, I rhymed. Maybe it was on purpose. Maybe it wasn't. We'll never know. We aren't the situation often. Again, I'm talking nuance here, my friends, right? We're not a temporary situation. Often we find over time we are. Our character is how we react or respond to the situation. And learning mastery and expertise over our energy and our emotions and our nervous system is one of the asks of the Chariot. I want to get one level nuanced because I already can feel people being like, but. People have an issue with the term mastery as if it's like we're power overing or controlling us. One of the Chariot's wisdoms is being present for what is coming up that is uncomfortable and being able to alchemize it. So it's mastery through collaboration and through listening to. It's not mastery in the more old school paradigm thought of I'm controlling this, or I'm like tucking it in and avoiding it or ignoring it. That's the opposite of what the chariot is. This is how we gain self-trust and we gain self-confidence. This is how we become a mature person who is living by their own code of ethics and values and morals and map. I wanted to briefly go over some of the symbology of the chariot that also helped to emphasize more of the teachings of the chariot. And the first is the number 7. I'm going to read from Many Moons Now. This is part of our introduction to 2023. Across cultures, 7 is a powerful number. From Hinduism to Islam to Judaism, there are numerous examples of the importance and symbolism of 7. This numeral is a symbol of the divine come to earth, magic made material. 7 is a number that corresponds to the spiritual structures. There are 7 chakras, 7 classical planets, and the Pleiades are also known as the 7 sisters. In Hebrew scripture, God rested on the 7th day. There are 7 days of the week. There are 7 colors in the rainbow, 7 notes on the diatonic scale, and 7 is the average amount of numerical information that humans can remember at one time, hence phone numbers. 7 also is a number that correlates with individuation, a process of becoming whole. So there's a lot there. We have both 7 as structure and 7 as a more spiritual number. In many renditions of this card, you'll see animals. Animals are pulling the chariot. We've got horses in some cards, gargoyles like in the Thoth deck, the sphinxes and the Smith Rider-Waite. Thinking about horses, we're thinking about powerful drive and instinct propelling us forward. It's also about respecting and acknowledging and collaborating with more of our wilder aspects, as well as the forces around us that we can work with. It's this harnessing of energy. Sphinxes reference a chariot theme, which is paradox and riddle. Riddles help us get outside ourselves and think in a different way. Paradoxes, not sure about what the plural is of that, gonna just say paradoxes, are something that you would not think would be true, but it is. It's a statement or idea that contradicts itself. For example, in order to go faster, slow down. Or the idea, if you get more rest, you'll be more productive. The chariot is about blending opposites and tension together in order to create new combinations. One sort of like paradoxy kind of thing that's like coming to my mind as I'm thinking about this is this idea of when you admit your flaws or shortcomings, you make people trust you because you're showing them you're a human being. Or in order to come up with a solution, you first have to recognize the problem. That's all very chariot. And then, of course, we have the chariot itself, this vessel and this vehicle. In a lot of renditions, we'll see the top of the chariot as having stars on it. We'll also see half moons on the charioteer's garb, connecting much of the symbology of the first entire line of the tarot in this card. The Chariot is this magician idea, as above, so below, but on wheels. There's a lot of concepts in the Western occult that have been appropriated from Jewish mysticism, and one of those is the Chariot. The Chariot is, in Kabbalistic thought, the throne of God. It's the set of energies and practices that we use to become a vessel to make us able to be open to receive this energy and to let this source energy flow through us. In the Bible, Ezekiel accessed this three-dimensional Merkabah, the Star of David, to ascend to heaven. In Torah, it's called sometimes the Chariot, the throne of God. The Zohar, which is the foundation of Kabbalah, tells us that with awareness and selfless action, you bring yourself into the heart or the center of the Merkabah, and then you can open up to greater source energy, which of course also, when I think of the heart of, I think of the next card, which is strength, and the lion in the heart, and the Chariot prepares us for strength. So that creates this nice connection. The Merkabah or Merkabah, which is also the Star of David, is two triangles, one pointed up, one down, which is a symbol of different things. One, it's the symbol of the elements, earth, air, fire, water. Traditionally, these are triangles. And then when you put them together, you have totality. And then, of course, you have a pentacle, the witch's circle, right? When we like call in all the elements. So the Chariot is this vessel and vehicle, and also, so which is a symbol of different tools and technologies and practices, which will help to get you to your next destination. You pick, you get to decide. And on that tip, we often have to get rid of a lot of things. There's a lot of baggage we have to clear when we're in Chariot. Audre Lorde wrote, "I want to write down everything I know about being afraid, but I'd probably never have enough time to write anything else. I need to travel light and fast, and there's a lot of baggage I'm going to have to leave behind me. Jettison cargo." Is that not the most Chariot sentiment? We've got to let things go. We've got to let go of the need to prove certain things. We've got to let go of certain attachments or projections or baggage of like where you should be or who you should be or what you should have known, and simply become, shed in order to emerge. When you receive the Chariot, you have to make a decision or a set of decisions that is in accordance of a newer you, a truer you. What often happens in a Chariot time is a leaving of some kind of external material situation, usually one that is attached to a shedding of some kind of role or identity, or a new kind of role or identity, or it's a trying out or trying on of a totally new thing or newer thing or identity or role, one that complicates, one that pushes up against the ego or maybe your inner child, or puts you back in a beginner's mind, you know, like starting a new career or doing something that is like really hard, like getting a puppy or becoming a parent or going back to school as an elder student. Maybe it pushes up against your close people or the world. What is normally happening in Chariot moments is that we're saying yes to something risky, bold, untried, that can really push against things we thought or believed about ourselves or the world, or that can, again, push up against the egos of other people. When I started doing more of this kind of work, more work that explores the metaphysical or the occult, a lot of people were like, what the fuck are you doing? And some people just peaced out, right? Like some people weren't even like, what's going on? Like a lot of people just like faded into the bushes, Homer Simpson. That was their response. Even the last time I was with extended family, I was at a wedding. A family member, apropos of nothing, insulted me and what I did right to my face, right to my face. When I first started doing this work, which was in congruence with a lot of Chariot internal work, like examining my gifts, letting my intuition lead where I was going. When I started exploring all of these things, I said goodbye to some very externally looking successful work in the world, working as a designer for one of the biggest corporations in the world, getting flown all over the place, meeting amazing people, having incredible experiences. And you know what? It was great. There was nothing wrong with it. I had begun an exciting new career to many, like on the external world, right? And also, I realized long term, it wasn't for me. I could do it. I was great at it. I enjoyed it. But on a deeper level, it wasn't going to be aligned with me long term. And so I left. I said goodbye to an incredible life, really. And a lot of people were very judgmental and confused about it, because it didn't make sense. And even when I was doing it, I knew it wasn't externally going to make sense. I left after I got an intuitive message to move to LA after only visiting there a few times. I didn't even totally love it. I just really was listening to my intuition. That's very Chariot too. Anytime you give up something that appears good enough or even great enough externally that you realize doesn't fit, it's not for you, maybe it just doesn't align anymore. Can we stop doing this thing where one thing is bad or one relationship is bad, so we have to leave it? Sometimes things just don't fit. They're just not good matches. Doesn't mean the thing is horrible. Doesn't mean the person's horrible. Doesn't mean you're horrible. It's just not in alignment. So then you go on a quest to figure out what feels more in alignment, what is more in alignment. And that's when you're in Chariot energy. It's often painful and hard and challenging. There's often not an immediate reward. And we are trained to want immediate external rewards, myself included. That's not necessarily what Chariot is about. It's about a bigger opening into a new path, one that you're building bit by bit. That famous book, that famous movie, Eat, Pray, Love, that's a total Chariot pop culture moment. Someone traveling to find themselves, upsetting certain people, letting go of who they were and who they loved, and safety and comfort. That's all Chariot. Because when we travel, we often find ourselves. Another paradox, right? When we're out of our comfort zone, when we're in the unfamiliar, this can help us remember who we are. The last little bit of traditional symbology I wanted to speak to is this correlation between the zodiac sign of Cancer and the Chariot, which frankly, I see as bullshit. It doesn't really make sense if we want to think about all of the ways in which the zodiac and the planets and the signs could relate to tarot cards. Why isn't the moon the moon? Why is it Pisces? That doesn't make sense. The High Priestess feels more like Cancer or maybe Pisces. Definitely the Queen of Cups feels very Cancerian to me. I want to underscore that all of this is made up. We do not have to accept it just because some British dude wanted to mishmash astrology and tarot together to contort them and make them fit like 120 years ago. I don't really understand why the Chariot isn't Mars, honestly. Aleister Crowley, everyone's favorite problematic bisexual occultist, says that this card is Mars in Cancer, which is fascinating to me and maybe makes it work a little bit more in my mind, as I tend to think of Mars and Cancer as care in action and compassion in action and intuition in action. Again, choose your own adventure. And in many moons, I wrote, Cancer is the fourth sign known to correspond to home, lineage, intuition, creativity, care, parenting, and tenacity. Symbols of the moon child have been the crab, the scarab, the lobster, and the turtle. Creatures with protective shells, able to live in various environments. The diaspora, navigation, the home within, vulnerability, self-sufficiency, compassion, and transformation from the inside out are all themes that correlate with this archetype. There is this theme of home and belonging, and there is this idea of having to cast off a shell that we've created. I think of like the cute little hermit crabs when they're in between shells. They're like so cute and waiting. You know, we can also, again, we could keep reaching and think about the molting process, you know, when crabs like outgrow their shells and they're all soft and vulnerable. That's this chariot-like process. And also, we can also just let a tarot card be a tarot card. Isn't the Merkaba, the throne of God, the other animal friends and helpers, the number seven, all of the other symbology like I couldn't even get to, isn't that enough? It is, at least for me. Again, that's just me. I share this with you because you will hear other tarot scholars and teachers say, you know, this card is ruled by Cancer or whatever, you know, or the Emperor is ruled by Aries or whatever. I just think we get to be flexible and remember that we can make things up as we go along. All right. So we've got background, context of the Chariot. We've got some of my interpretations. We've got some of the major symbology discussed. Now, I wanted to round out this deep dive with some of the keywords. These are chariot meanings on a more quick surface level. Maybe if you're doing like a 3-card, 15-minute reading for someone, or maybe if you just want to dip your toe in and have a starting point, these are some of the keywords you can think about with the Chariot. Success, victory, movement, courage, action, discipline, competition, specifically competition with former self or current self, confidence, change, learning, tools and technologies, up-leveling, self-improvement, discipline, channeling, figuring out how to be a channel, like how to channel anxiety into action or channel messages from your intuition into art, vehicles of growth, vessels, priming your vessel, alignment, new pathways. This includes neuropathways, tension, paradox, transformation, specifically using our fears or shadow bits as fuel or redirection for maturity or growth, overcoming, winning, conflict, fights, egotism, hardships, battles, anything martial, defenses and defensiveness, spiritual growth, shedding, clearing, cleaning the personality to get closer to the true self, leaving and moving on, wheels turning, wasting energy, getting stuck in ruts, manipulation and control, and letting fear, the shadow, or other people run the show. The interplay between our instincts and our more civilized self, the interplay or tension between our conscious and or like subconscious, unconscious self are all here as well. Any of these themes could come up this year. If you are in a chariot year or you receive the chariot card, meditating on these themes could help spur your imagination or answer some of the questions you've been asking yourself. When we receive the chariot card, some great questions we can ask are, where am I going? Where do I want to go? How can I get there? What tools do I possess that I can use to navigate where I want to go? Am I in energetic alignment with where I would like to go? What must I leave behind or shed? What must I learn or practice? These are the kinds of questions we'll be asking ourselves and practicing in my upcoming workshop. You'll get your own answers to these, of course, and this is all what you might be asking yourself. You might be asking yourself these kinds of questions throughout the year. I, in part, design many moons around the rhythms and the lessons and the wisdom and the energies of the chariot. So you can pick that up if you want a printed companion as well. And I think that's a lot. I think I got through most of what I wanted to share. We're gonna go deeper into my interpretations in my workshop. In particular, we're gonna talk about change and how to change and why people don't change. We're going how you can change, how to think about change, think about how you would like to change and who you would like to change into, how to embody and model change. We are going to touch upon paradoxes. We also are going to do a deep dive into this idea that is a very chariot idea, and that is one of divination. So, gentle listener, I will see you there. Thank you for being here. I am so honored and pleased to get to deep dive with these archetypes with you and bring them into living, breathing form and help them come alive for all of us and help to guide us through this year of change. Until soon, take care.